Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Stevenson and I'm really looking forward to welcoming Debbie Romanis today. She's worked as a soft tissue therapist at the London Olympics 2012 and as a team therapist for the New Zealand Paralympic team. She went to the World Equestrian Games in Normandy in 2014, and on top of all her physiotherapy for horse and rider, she's also an ambassador for the Catwalk Trust. This is Horse Hour. Debbie Romanis, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Thank you for joining us all the way over from New Zealand.
I am indeed. Thank you for having me. It's great.
You've now moved over to the UK. Thank goodness, because why you wanted to leave us and go to New Zealand in the first place?
I know. Quite absurd.
But you've done great things over there. So actually, we benefit more because we've now got your expertise back in the UK. So you are a human and equine sports therapist, but that doesn't even do you justice for what you really do, because you've looked after Anthea Dixon, who's a para-equestrian rider. And now where did she go? She went to the Olympics?
She did indeed. She went to the London 2012 Olympics. Yep, she qualified in Australia. She had to fly her horse over to Australia and then over to the UK for the Olympics. And yeah, I was part of the health team for the New Zealand para team. So yeah, it was a fantastic experience. And yeah, quite tremendous.
So what did you have to do? Did you look after them? It's basically like two in one, isn't it? Because you look after them and the horses?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so because I can do people and the horses, then yeah, I was it really for Anthea, and there was another lady on the team as well. So yeah, I got to look after both the riders and both the horses, but predominantly I worked with Anthea.
What a cool job.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was such a brilliant experience. Yeah, being behind the scenes at the Olympics was just a dream come true, really.
Do you ride yourself as well?
Yeah, I do. I haven't done. I've just been working, sort of making the business go for the last 5-6 years, so I haven't actually ridden properly for that time. But yeah, no, I did. I evented and then I dressage competitively, so yeah, I do come from a riding background, so
isn't it, we end up you know, businesses come first and the job comes first. We have to pay for the horses and then we find that we don't have time. I'm finding myself paying somebody else to ride my horse because I know he needs to be ridden and I don't have the time to do it, and then you have the guilt. Oh,
yeah,
the guilt.
No. Exactly. And so, you know, in New Zealand, I was traveling up and down the countryside. And so I'd go down. I lived in Christchurch and I would travel 4 hours down to Dunedin and then 7 hours from Christchurch down even further to the bottom of the South Island and then up to the top of the South Island. So I was hardly ever home. And so I thought having a horse in that, you know, with me running around all over the place just wasn't going to work. So
So now you're settled. Are you going to get one here?
Well, that could well be an option. Yes. We won't tell the husband that yet.
Well, the husbands never know until they turn up in the field.
That's very true. Yeah. So, yeah, it'd be lovely to get back into it.
What would you get? What type of horse would you get?
I would aim for the dressage route. So a warm blood of some description would be great. Yes.
Oh, they're beautiful, they are.
Yes.
Yeah. Big, stocky.
That's right.
Black.
Oh, well, who knows? I had a lovely chestnut Dutch warm blood, actually, and he was quite divine. So, Yeah, I don't mind what colour.
Oh, that's so exciting, because otherwise I'd say come and ride mine.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So then equine and human sports therapy. This is like a physiotherapy for horses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we often hear this, and we hear of loads of different treatments that horses need, and physiotherapy, chiropractors, it's one that's on the top of the list. Quite often, Debbie, we'll spend money on our horses and we won't think about ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is quite the norm.
Yes.
But with physiotherapy for a horse, would you say that's like a regular thing that we should be doing?
Yeah, look, generally I like to think sort of in the terms of prehab rather than rehab. So I want to work on preventing problems happening rather than dealing with problems after they've occurred. So if I can see clients sort of every 4 weeks or so, it just helps keep us all on track and, yeah, helps everybody know where we're at and try to avoid the problems before they start. Really, that's in an ideal world. Most of the time we're working through a few problems. So I can see clients once a week initially, up to then go to fortnightly, and then we can go 4 to 6 weeks. So yeah, it just depends. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a costly extra on top of everything else, but it is definitely a modality that you can really see the results of it, and it works. I always like to think it's a bit of an evolving process. You know, the horse is never the same. Every time you see them, they're always changing. Something's happened, and you know they're developing, or they're always changing. And so, by keeping up to date with your physio, you can ride along with those changes, and yeah, works quite well.
Do we need to get, because I've spoken to a few people about different therapies lately, and one of them, they said that they need a veterinary, almost like the go-ahead from a vet before you can do any treatment. Is that the same with physiotherapy?
Yeah, that's right. So anything that's not veterinary treatment needs to have veterinary referral. So yeah, the vet needs to say, yep, you're allowed to go and see that horse.
Because that's really bizarre, because we don't need it for us. So
no.
We don't. If I want to go and see a physio for me, I don't need to go to the doctor. I can just phone them and say, you know, my neck's a bit crooked. Can you help me out? And they say, no,
yeah,
Amy, you need more than that for help.
Yeah. But with the Veterinary Act, yeah, it is a law that anybody that's not a vet needs veterinary permission to work on a horse. That's in the UK. That's not worldwide. New Zealand, I didn't have to have veterinary permission. I worked anyway alongside the vets out there because it was all part of, I'm a big believer in getting the right team around everybody.
Hmm.
So I would work very closely with the vets, but it wasn't compulsory. It wasn't not like it is in the UK. So, yeah, in New Zealand, anyone can work on a horse.
Oh, really? They
need
to change their
scary
rules, yeah.
Could yes,
you imagine me trying
change
to give a horse
rules
a massage? They'd be like, I could go around saying, yeah, I'll fix him for you. I won't have a clue what I'm doing.
Yeah, and well, and that's a bit the scary thing, which is why I think they've got it right here.
So who would be in your ideal team of therapists? Not necessarily people, but what type of things would be in your team for a horse?
So my team, really what I want to get the riders hooked into is having the right team. So the team is your farrier, your vet, your body worker, whichever one you choose. It's got to come down to what people believe in, what they trust, what works. They may have had a modality on themselves, like acupuncture, and they're getting great results, and so they try that for the horse.
Do you do acupuncture on a horse?
You can do, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I've had acupuncture and loved it, and it went right into the muscles, but I just don't know why. I couldn't imagine sticking needles in blackjack, but I know that it worked for me, so I guess it would work for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, it's quite popular. There's a few people, few practitioners now. Yeah, horses respond really well on the whole.
But I guess you can't ride them after these treatments.
Yeah, again, physio-wise, we used to say, no, give them a bit of a rest, but I think it's quite good just to give them a stretch out, definitely the next day, just give them a walk or a trot stretch just to get the body moving again. And I would imagine it's reasonably the same for acupuncture, but they all have their different sort of parameters they work towards, and depending on how much they've had to do or quite what they've worked on, I guess it will vary after each treatment. But
so my apologies, I interrupted you. You were in the middle of describing your ideal team.
Yeah, so your body worker, and then saddle fitter, dentist, and a nutritionist if you're feeling so inclined. Just nutritionist, sometimes it's quite good for people just to check in.
And is this for a nutritionist for the rider or for the horse?
Well, both, ideally. Mm. I mean, we as riders, we typically are terrible, you know, and it shows. We'll just grab whatever's on offer and not sustain ourselves how we should. But yeah, so ideally, for both of us, having a nutritionist in your camp is quite good. And often think if you're wanting to change discipline or try something else, or your horse isn't feeling quite as you want him to, sometimes it's quite handy just to have a nutritionist to have a chat to. So yeah, so they're probably my key, and your coach, key people in the health team, if you like, and they should all be talking to each other. It's so important.
That's interesting, because I don't think any of my people have spoken. I'm like the middle person that then goes and says to the vet, oh, this person said that and that person says that. But do you know why? Because, and this is going to sound really bizarre, Debbie, but I'm almost afraid half the time that I'm doing the wrong thing. So if I'm choosing a therapist, whoever therapist is, let's say for example I had a physio, I'm always afraid that the other people are going to say, well, what have you got a physio for? Like, you know, you don't need a physio. Or what have you got this particular farrier for? You don't need... I guess I always worry that I'm doing the wrong thing. So I just quietly say to my vet, oh, I had the physio in the other day and this is what she said. But it's all very hidden and very quiet, which is just weird, I know. I don't know why.
I think so many of us are like that. I think there's so much, because there's so many, we're bombarded with opinions and bombarded with what we should be doing, and you know, in inverted commas, like, and it's a shame, because really for the benefit of the horse and for the horse and rider journey, those people like should be your trusted advisors, and they should all be on the same page so that they can take you and your horse the right way. All together. I mean, your farrier, problems with the feet will affect how the saddle fits, for example. And so your farrier should be talking to your body worker and your saddle fitter. Your dentist, again, problems in the teeth will affect how the body is responding or coping. So the dentist and the body worker should chat. And so the whole thing, there should be a real integration of team members.
So how do we get them to do that then? Because they don't even write a letter. And I have to say I'm lucky, because I do have an amazing team. I like calling them the team now.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, team.
Amazing.
I've just got a farrier and a vet and a...
But that is, that's your team. It's good. Yeah.
But it would be nice if they did write letters and just kind of, like you said, talk to each other. That would be amazing, because then I'd know that the overall care for Blackjack, that's the name of my horse, they're actually thinking about him, and they all can see if there's anything else going wrong but they're not doing that. So how do I get them talking to each other?
Well, then I would, unfortunately it is the horse owner. I put the responsibility on the owner, because you're the one that's talking to all of these people anyway. So really I would suggest they either leave you with a report of what they've done that you can show to the next person that comes along, or ask each one individually, hey, would you mind, can I share your number with the farrier, just to, you know, if in case we need to touch base on anything. Just try and open the lines of communication, I think. But you're not alone. I honestly, even up to top level, sometimes the teams do not come together from personally how as well enough as they should, because it really is the only way to help the horses, really.
Because you quite often hear vets phoning farriers and saying, and they do talk about a horse, but that's only if something's wrong.
Yes.
But if everything's good, wouldn't it be amazing if we could send our reports to the vet and say, I know you haven't got a huge filing system, but can you just file all these reports with Blackjack? But then I guess maybe ultimately we should be doing that, because I'll be totally honest, I've had reports from saddle fitters before and genuinely thought, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to keep it? I guess you are supposed to keep it.
Yes,
it's important.
I would definitely recommend you keep a file and and ask ask each practitioner to give you a little bit of a feedback of what they've done on that visit and what their plans are and what they've noticed, or maybe what's changed from last time, so that then and say, I'm going to be sharing this with my farrier and with my vet and with my saddle fitter when they come, and I'm going to be sharing their reports with you. And so, yeah, it starts to get them communicating, even if it's just through you, even if they can see what the other person's been doing. It starts the process.
It does, yeah. It's hard for us to have the confidence to do that, though, because, you know, you stand there. I mean, and I have an amazing relationship with my farrier. I mean, he's just awesome. Yep. But I still don't ask. I ask a few more questions now than I used to, but I just stand there and go, well, his feet look good. And that's it. That's my report. It's, well, they're doing well.
Yeah.
But he does answer questions going along, but we don't feel... I can only speak... myself and a few other equestrians that I know, we don't feel that we can ask those questions.
Yeah.
And we feel like we're questioning them. We're not questioning them. We just want to learn as much about a horse as possible.
Absolutely. I know it is tricky, and you do have to tread a little bit carefully at times with some of them. So yeah, I guess really I would approach it with the farriers. I mean, they're not going to sit and write you a report, the farriers. They're just that's not how they work. But even if you can just ask them at the end of it, if you're there, you can scribble down a couple of notes to say no change, you know, standard refit of the shoes or anything, just so that you know that for your file that actually there was no difference in how the feet are wearing, or he hasn't had to adjust anything too much, so that you know going forward that things are the status quo at the moment, rather than, you know, I mean, of course, he might say, yeah, actually, no, I did have to trim that bit a bit more than I did last time or whatever. And it just starts to build a picture of, okay, well, maybe there's something I need to monitor or something I need to share with the physio or, yeah.
That's really interesting, because if they're leaning more on one foot, for example, they could be overcompensating for something else.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
We are getting this.
Yeah.
So I love that. So tip number one is to get a good team. That they don't necessarily have to know each other. It's whoever you trust and you believe in.
Yeah, totally.
And then the second one is keep all the notes and get as much information from each visit as possible.
Absolutely. History is key. For keeping a horse sound, having the history is absolutely imperative. Yeah, for all the practitioners. Yeah, so keep all their notes, definitely. Yeah.
So what happens then if something goes wrong and it's more muscular? Is that where you come in with the muscles?
Yes.
And you do soft tissue work?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm predominantly soft tissue, which most physios and massage people will be, of course. There will be a little bit of mobilizing of joints just to check their range of movement and try and get the joints moving a little bit better. But for me personally, I'm predominantly a soft tissue therapist.
So can you tell me the difference then, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, between, I've seen so many equestrian masseuses, do massage, but then you got a physio. And for me, in my brain, I think physio, scientific. You're going to have more qualifications, you're going to have a scientific background, and it is get in there, get the knot out, get the horse sorted. Is that, how do you see it?
Yeah, so the physios, they will have had to have done some human training, and I think that's really quite useful to know that they've actually been through that train of, had that structure really, and learn the anatomy for people, and then being able to train and do the same on the horses. So potentially their depth of knowledge is going to be that much better. But having said that, the qualifications for your massage now are fantastic. And so long as they've done a practical course, not an online one, then
that's interesting. So you can so we need to be asking. It's so difficult, though. We're going to be asking for qualifications, but how do you do that? Because you feel like you're being rude, don't you?
Well, you do. It is. I know. But then, you know, you've got to, the bottom line is you want the best for your horse, and it's your money as well, and you want to be investing it in the right place. So, yeah, find out. Just say, hey, where did you train, or what are your qualifications? You know, just so you know what you're going to deliver, and go from there. It doesn't have to be an offensive question, and if someone's qualified, they won't be
They won't mind, will they? They'll be proud of it. Like, yes, I've got a, I've got an R2-D2.
Exactly. So, yeah, but then, I mean, that's where it all comes back to the team again. And if you've got a massage therapist, then a professional massage therapist will say, this is beyond me, potentially, if they need to, like any practitioner. Like a physio or a chiropractor should say, actually, we need to get the vet in, or this is a job for somebody else. So, yeah, and it's a case of finding out who you get along with and who you trust and who your horse tolerates too. I mean, that's a biggie.
Really? Do they struggle then with some practitioners?
Yeah, some can. Yeah, I mean, most people that want to work with horses have a reasonable intuitive slant on things, you know, and they're pretty good. But sometimes you will have the odd time when a horse will clash with a practitioner. So, yeah.
So how do we know then? Will the practitioner be professional enough to say, you know, I'm not the right person for your horse? Or is that something that we need to keep an eye on as owners? Because the horse could be reacting to the treatment. How do you can tell the difference between whether it's the treatment that's doing that or whether he just doesn't like the person?
Yeah, well, good question. So there will be, so overall, the treatment should, and it can, I mean, I will elicit a little bit, I can elicit quite a strong reaction out of a horse, but it shouldn't be for the entire treatment. So there'll be a moment of, ooh, that was a little bit uncomfortable or whatever. And so you'll get the feedback from the horse then, but then you should be able to work around it and through.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Through it to get him to a point where he's actually coping again. So if you've got a sustained level of this is really unhappy or really uncomfortable, then that's when you've got to think, okay, the practitioner potentially should have backed off at that point and gone somewhere else and approached things a little bit differently. And so, yeah, if they're not, then I would be, you know, if the horse isn't at all relaxed or through the treatment, then there won't be enough benefit from it. So
interesting.
That's when
okay.
I would possibly be able to, you know, you can just say, I'm not sure he quite coped with all of that type thing. And yeah, it's tricky.
That's a
it's
nice
tricky.
Way to say it. It's better than saying, I don't think he likes you. I'm sorry, but you know.
And it's difficult. Difficult for newly qualified people. You know, they're finding their strides and trying to figure it out. And it takes time to really learn how much pressure and when to back off. And that's just all experience and reading the horses and, yeah.
You can't beat experience, can you? But at the same time, you know, there's lots of lovely people out there that want the best for the horses. And then they're trying and they just need to get, unless they get the experience, then... Yeah. They're not going to improve.
Yeah.
Do you work on the whole bit of the horse, or is it more the back? Is it more the head?
Yeah. So I will work everywhere. I watch the horse. I assess it statically. So I just look at it, look at the posture, and assess any asymmetries, and then I'll watch the horse move. So then I get a fair idea actually of function and dysfunction through the body. And so I know sort of my target areas are going to be.
Mm.
But my approach is, if there's a dysfunction in one area, then there's a dysfunction in most areas as a result. So I will do all of the horse.
The reason I ask is because I've started massaging Blackjack's head.
Cool.
And I saw it once, and he had it done on him, and it relaxed. And this is where you have to be very careful with trying techniques. I'm not trying to be a physio or a massage therapist or anything. I just noticed that he had a little bit of a rub on his head. She rubbed him on his head. This was ages ago. And on the pole. And yeah. He loved it. And he dropped his head and he relaxed.
Yeah.
So lately, he's had issues with his ears. So I thought, okay. Oh, I'll give him a little rub. Just a little gentle rub on his head, on his pole. He fell asleep in my arms.
Oh,
I know. It was amazing. Yeah. He snuggled his head in. And full on fell asleep. I was like, oh, I feel like you're a baby, you know. And then
adorable.
And he really, really responded to that little bit of, it was just a tiny bit of pressure. And obviously, if he'd pushed away, I don't want to hurt him in any way. So if he'd pushed away, then I wouldn't have continued. But actually, he really enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic. So perfect. So keep going.
Physio works on the head as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of dysfunction at the pole, any dysfunction at the pole, which can be through teeth or the jaw, will have a result through the back and into the hindquarters. And so everything's connected.
A lot about TMJ problems as well lately. It seems that's, I don't know whether it's more rife, whether more horses are having TMJ issues, or whether we're just hearing about it more.
Yeah, sure.
But what you do can help with those issues too, can't it? Can it help relax the horse?
Yeah, absolutely. So you just... Yeah, so you do get a lot of TMJ issues. I mean, a lot of tension under saddle is they can be held in the jaw, you know, and they'll clamp their teeth and try and cross the jaw, whatever. So they do hold a lot of tension at the TMJ if they've got some discomfort through the body under saddle, or if the training's been forced a little bit too quickly or whatever, they're not coping. Typically, they will hold a lot of tension in the TMJ in the jaw. So yeah, we work, I work quite a lot around the TMJ and the pole. And again, that's when the dentist comes into the team, and you just liaise with the dentist and say, okay, have we got issues here? And teeth are not my area of expertise at all. So I'm like, okay, I need to chat to your dentist. Yeah. And just to see, I mean, quite often they'll say, oh, yeah, that's a bit misaligned in there, and we're working through a few issues.
But predominantly, I guess you're working on saddle fitting and the back and that kind of area.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to make the back as really the main goal is to make everything as mobile and as functional as possible. And yeah, and that's what, so we'll try and get the back, each segment of the back doing what it should do. And then, yeah, helping the muscles to fire up or let go or whatever they need to do. And then give the rider techniques under saddle to help all of that as well. So, because really good riding is the best physio you can give your horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you're riding it well, then yeah, the body will be a lot happier and stay a lot happier. So,
well, Blackjack's got no hope.
He'll be fine. So I try and work with riders
that know what they're doing
stuff as well.
Makes your life a whole lot easier.
Oh, funny. You know, and we'll use trotting poles and we'll all sorts, so that then actually the horse has to use himself in the way we want him to, and it doesn't all rely on the rider. So you'll be fine.
So you help teach the, not teach, you're not a coach, but again, I guess working with the coach, you're then saying, right, the horse needs more strength on its right side.
Exactly. Yeah. So then you work with the coach and you say, yeah, this movement, or a bit more of this, or a bit more of that, a bit less of this. And yeah. And then, yeah, we physio them that way.
That sounds amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you're also here to tell us about a new charity. And it is quite, we've gone from fun to emotional now.
Yes.
It was brought on because of an accident. Now tell us all about it. So you are ambassador of the Catwalk Trust.
That's right, I am. So the Catwalk Trust was set up by Katrina Williams. She was a four-star eventer for New Zealand. She did badminton and the European Championships. And then, very tragically, she had a rotational fall on a friend's horse, actually, out in New Zealand, on a cross-country course in New Zealand. Mm. And then it has ended up as a tetraplegic, so she fractured C6, C7, so at the base of her neck, and severed her spinal cord.
Oh my gosh, how on earth did she survive that?
Wow,
That's incredible.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, she's a phenomenal woman. So she's a tetraplegic, and she made it her mission that she wanted a cure, and she wanted a cure for everybody. So she started in 2005. She started the Catwalk Trust just with a couple of friends, and it's grown to be a really significant charity. They've raised over $6 million,
oh, wow,
which is about £3 million. And what they do, they invite scientists to submit proposals for research, and then they work with a neurological advisory committee who will assess those proposals, and then they will come to an agreement on who receives the funding that the Catwalk Trust have raised. Mm-hmm. And then they will go ahead and the scientists will head up their research projects. So really they're raising funds to support the research into finding a cure. So
into finding a cure for
spinal cord injury. So their aim is that spinal cord injury doesn't mean paralysis for life. Mm. They're really pushing the research.
What an amazing lady.
Yeah, she's hand cycled the New York Marathon.
Oh my god.
She has hand cycled up to base camp at Everest. She's quite tremendous. Quite tremendous. And she was honoured on the Queen's list. She's a member of New Zealand Order of Merit and things. I mean, she really has just launched this charity. And Zara Phillips and Mark Todd are patrons. And there's a few key rugby personnel, All Blacks, that are patrons as well in New Zealand.
Wow.
And, it's an exciting charity.
Does really she still exciting. Ride now?
No. You see, so my involvement really came through working with Anthea Dixon at the Olympics. And because the New Zealand High Performance were quite keen to have Katrina on the para team, you know, they thought, well, that would be perfect. But no, she wasn't keen to. She, you know, if she couldn't ride how she used to ride, she didn't want to go back to that.
That's fair enough. I get that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, whereas for Anthea, riding was the only thing that kept her going. The thought of being able to get back on the horse got her through all her rehab and has been the one source of joy, really, since her accident. So, yeah.
So she oh gosh, so she had an accident as well.
Yeah, Anthea did, yeah, which, I mean, she was just leading her horse back to the paddock, and it was down a bit of a steep-ish hill, and he stumbled and fell on top of her, and she ended up sort of at the bottom of a gully, bottom of a ditch with him on top of her. He finally scrambled up, and she thought, okay, I'll get up and check he's okay, and figured that she couldn't move.
Oh,
and
bless her.
I know, was stuck there for a couple of hours before someone found her. And so Anthea is a paraplegic. She fractured T10/11, which is about bra strap level. So she, her legs don't work, but her arms, everything above the waist works.
These women are incredible. They are absolutely incredible because not only are you going through that horrific trauma, to be able to just deal with that, to get over the fear, to build the confidence, to be able to have enough fight and enough oomph in you to get your muscles working enough to get back on a horse. It's insane.
Honestly.
I spoke to Heather Bennett.
Yeah.
She's a great British para dressage rider.
Yes.
And she had an accident too. She had the same. And she said that it was just the constant. There was no option. She was going to get back on no matter what. And it sounds like Anthea had a similar mentality.
Definitely. Yeah. By week, she had 4 months in a spinal rehab unit hospital. And on week 9, she said to the doctors, well, I think I need to get back on a horse about now. they were like, I don't think that's really advisable. And she's like, nope, I have to. And so she did. They went out to the RDA and she was thrown onto the horse. And she said she got back to the spinal unit with a massive smile on her face, and she didn't falter through the rest of her rehab program, and got out, and she got a horse, and away she's gone.
It puts us to shame, really. There's us that are able to ride, and you know, are too afraid and worry about and have confidence problems, and you know, scared of a paper bag, and then they go through all this, and they still get on. It's amazing.
It's just remarkable. And she's, you know, I've been fortunate enough to spend time in her company, and she's honestly such an outstanding, well, she's the same age as me. She's 34. This happened when she was 24. 10 years in a wheelchair. She's done the Olympics and the World Games. And just incredible. She took herself to Germany. She trained in Germany. She was driving on the wrong side of the road all around Germany. And it's just brilliant. You know, they're quite remarkable. So when they said, you know, that would you be an ambassador for the trust, I was so honoured, because it's really close to my heart. It really is. And to think what these guys would do if we could get them out of a wheelchair and back on their feet.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
What they've achieved, you know, after all, as you say, through going through all that trauma. Yeah, incredible people.
So they're huge. They're obviously huge. Do they do events and things that we can go to and help raise money? How can we help?
Yes. So, well, that's why I'm here. Well, that's not why I'm in the UK now, but it's all sort of come to yay, I'm in the UK. So that's my job now as an ambassador over here. So, yeah, because in New Zealand, they organise all sorts of amazing events. They have massive black tie events. They, you know, the All Blacks, as I said, because some of them are patrons, so they're really involved in fundraising events. So, yeah, that's kind of my project here.
Exciting. So we can make plans now, Debbie.
Yes, exactly. And because I want to, take it to the country here, really, and get people on board. I mean, I know there's lots of charities that are working, you know, a lot of them are working to help the rehab side, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think pushing for the research into a cure, I think, that's a vital part of what's needed. So,
every charity does an amazing job, and they all do quite different things. And it's this side, Catwalk Trust's mission, I guess, I hadn't even considered, you know, research into curing it would be, it's just insane. It's amazing.
Exactly.
So what events then do they do over in New Zealand that you might think could be fun to bring over here?
Good question. They have black tie dinners. They have big guest speakers come in, motivational speakers. They are they're organising a team to go to the New York Marathon again this year. So all of that's for fundraising.
Right. So we need our team of Horse Hour. We need a motivational speaker. We need someone who's fit who will run a marathon.
Right.
We need somebody that's really famous. Anyone famous? Carl Hester would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Yes, Carl Hester, come forward, please. That would be lovely.
We need the support of the British Equestrian Federation.
We do.
We're laughing.
We're home and hosed, exactly.
And we need a good party, please, Debbie.
A great party. That's key, I think. Yes. So, all right, we've got Zara Phillips as patron. And Mark Todd. So shortly, with those two, we can create a good party and create good exposure for the trap. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited to be here and, all sorts of possibilities.
In the meantime, because I can't wait to hear what you plan, because you look so much fun and I think these parties could be awesome and the events could be awesome. So in the meantime, if we want to help, we want to donate, how can we do that?
So the easiest way really is to head to their website, which is www.catwalktrust.org.nz, and all the information there on how you can help you'll find online on their website.
Can you just repeat that for me? It's not their website anymore. It's our. You got to say it's our website.
Our website for the Catwalk Trust is www.catwalktrust.org.nz.
So their Twitter handle is @catwalktrust, And it's the same on Facebook. And if you Facebook, just search on Instagram.
And yeah, it'll be Catwalk Trust on there as well. Yeah.
Oh, Debbie, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you so much yourself for having me. That's been great. And honestly, if we can, raise the awareness for helping Catwalk Trust, that would be incredible. So thank you.
Our pleasure. We've got another section on our website called Champions. So Catwalk Trust is going onto the Champions section. Along with a couple of our other favourites, which is the Mark Davies Injured Riders Fund.
Brilliant.
Because they do, so, you know, it's helping riders.
It aligns really well. Yeah.
Yeah. And then horse charities as well, like the Blue Cross and Hope Pastures. So you'll be on there. So all your details will be on horsehour.org and links through to donate as well. If people want to donate, they can donate on your website. So that's on our website. So thank you very, very much. Can we follow you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
Yes, I am indeed. DB Muscle Therapy. So at DB Muscle Therapy.
And we can book you as well, can't we, if we need a
physio? You can. You can indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Oh,
thank you.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Isn't Debbie just lovely? I'm really hoping she'll join us throughout the Paralympics Rio 2016. It'd be really great to get some updates from her of how she thinks the people are performing, and maybe things that we should be looking out for while we're watching. Because it's really good, I think, when we're watching the world's best riders and equestrians, to be able to learn from them at the same time. I've also got some awesome guests coming up over the next month for the Horse Hour podcast, including Sergeant Craig from the Metropolitan Police Mounted Section. We always want to know how they train the mounted horses, and I always wonder if they're ever available to buy, because in my head I'm thinking, a horse that's so well trained like that would be an ideal first horse. So I'm going to have a chat with Sergeant Craig about that. Also, HGV training. If you're thinking of getting your horse box license, then have a listen to James, who joins us and gives some advice on how to get our license and what the different meanings are as well. I'm also speaking to the Pony Club, the official Pony Club for the UK, because I just love things childlike. I missed out on the opportunity to go to Pony Club because my parents were never very horsey and I got into riding much later. So I'm really looking forward to having a chat with them, seeing what's available for kids, how do children learn, and also advice for parents as well. If you've got some children that maybe you want to get into riding or you don't know where to take them, then the Pony Club will give you loads of advice. You can catch up with old episodes on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk, as well as a whole bunch of advice and information, anything related to horses. And there's our calendar as well. If you have a couple of weekends free and you're looking for something to do, then head over to our calendar and see what shows are going on in your local area. And on top of that, if you run a show yourself, you can add that to our calendar. You just have to click add event. Loads going on at Horse Hour. I hope you have a really lovely week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.